going to move through two parts today. And the first part is going to be really talking about the online presence that we have with the Discipleship Place. Just kind of running through a highlight of some of the things that are available to you. What we have at the Discipleship Place is a website that's designed for Christian education and resourcing for the local church. It is supported through the World Evangelism Fund. So that's how we get supported to provide the resources that we provide there. But I want to give you a highlight of that, and then I want to move into what we have available through the GoTandem mobile app and talk about that a little bit. Are you guys familiar with the GoTandem mobile app? A couple of you are. I know there was an exhibit, they were there. If any of you were able to walk through that area there was a exhibit area. So I really kind of want to move through the first part a little quick and get to the second half of it, because for me, that's where I want to spend most of my time, if that's okay. So, that fair enough? And feel free to ask questions and interrupt at any point. This is, for me, it's a very laid back process here. So, the Discipleship Place, discipleshipplace.org, provides cost effective ways of delivering Christian education resources. I truly believe that a theological foundation, a biblical foundation, is critically important. I think I'm speaking to people here that I think probably believe that too. So I'm not going to try and convince you of that, other than to say that's what discipleshipplace.org is about. It's about establishing that foundation for laity in particular. One of the things that we have started doing is working with clergy development, and clergy development has allowed pastors to utilize resources on the site and get lifelong learning hours. So just as a note to you, I know that that's kind of been a transition in a way that they're doing lifelong learning versus CEUs, and the 20 hours is kind of the benchmark that they're looking for. That actually is something that you can go to discipleship.org, take some of these courses, and Dr. Stan Rhodes has said that a lot of this stuff can count for you. So you might just keep that in mind as well. The thing that I like about what I do, quite honestly, and I'm just going to flip through a couple slides here, is, you know, no one is coercing people to come to the site. And it's one thing for me to come from the Global Ministry Center here and say, here's the resources. But it's another thing sometimes to hear, and I wish, you know, there was sometimes ways to open up the email inbox and let you see the emails that come in from laity. Laity that I think a lot of times I've been looking, a lot of them, to dig deeper, but haven't found the place to go to dig deeper. And so it's been nice to see those people and the results that come from that. And so at points here in the presentation, I might throw up some of these kinds of quotes just from emails that I've received, little snippets. When I get permission to share from them, I go ahead and log that. But the Discipleship Place really can have a few things that you might find beneficial. One is for the new believer. There's a way for the new believer to develop healthy habits, and we hopefully will be able to move more into this area than we have so far, but there are some things here currently that I think you might find helpful. The screenshot that you're looking here is actually showing you a menu item over on the left that says devotionals, and just a little sideline as well. We're actually about ready to launch a brand new website, so the screenshots I'm showing you are old. In a sense, because eventually here, probably in the next 2 weeks, it's going to look completely different. But the content will all still exist. It'll just be a different navigation. But when someone comes to the site, they actually, over on the right side there, are going to create their account. The account is going to track everything they do on the site. Now, in the new site, not the current site that you're looking at, but in the new site, one of the functions that's going to be new in the registration process for you as pastors, this will be helpful to know, is that when that person actually registers an account, they're going to have the option to choose somebody that can receive notification as they complete things on the site. So when we go through this and look at some of these resources, be thinking about the idea that it'll be possible for you, if someone puts that in and you encourage them to do that, to get an email prompting you to say, hey, so-and-so just completed XYZ lesson. And that's for a specific purpose. The purpose of the site is not to have information dump. We're not looking for people to come and consume information. We're looking for transformation. And the reality is that transformation comes through information that is integrated through a relationship so it can be applied in that person's life and that God can use that. So everything that we do on the side is really tailored or meant to be done in conjunction with someone else. We can't force that to happen, but that's what we want to encourage and facilitate, hoping that that will happen. And so that's our best case scenario. And so one of the things that you're looking at here with the devotionals is some new believer devotionals that we have available. These were actually devotionals that were written by Reverend Brian Wengler, and they're 31 days of devotionals. Some of you probably know Brian here because he's on this region. And each one of them has a short devotional. When someone actually signs up for these, they can actually ask someone to join them in the journey. So they'll sign up and say, I want so-and-so to join me in the 31 days of devotionals. And then that person will receive an invitation through the website to join them, get a confirmation link, and then both will receive emails for 31 days, the exact same emails. And the nice thing is at the bottom of every email are the same two questions. What did God say to me today, and what do I want to say to God today? So it's a very basic beginning step for a new believer that goes topically through things like, what does it mean to be forgiven? What does it mean to be justified in Christ? Those kinds of things. And it's been a really great thing. I mean, some people, I have people that actually do this for, with me on the site. They'll invite me, and we just either through email correspond and say, here's the devotional today, through Facebook messaging, through text messaging, whatever, is usually how it works for me with the people that actually do it. So something that's very helpful. We also have devotionals for married couples. Dr. David and Lisa Frisbee, who are here and have done, I think they got four workshops that they've been doing here at PowCon, wrote these devotionals. These are designed for married couples. Here's an example of one of those devotionals delivered via email. So very similar concept, and that's the way it works for this venue as well. So devotionals is one of the things that's on the website. The other thing that we have is small group curriculum. I'm putting the arrows there to point to you just to three of the small group curriculum items that could be used for new believers. One is basic Bible themes, one is the Following Jesus Discipleship Program, and one is the Stepping Stone Discipleship Series. And so when you look, for example, at the Stepping Stone Discipleship Series, you're going to find 20 lessons and a glossary of words used by Christians that cover various topics. And you can see there on the slide some of those topics that it covers. The Following Jesus Discipleship Series has 23 lessons, and here's some of the things that it covers. Who is Jesus, and what does it mean to follow Him? What does it mean to be in Christ? And what does it mean to be part of the people of God? And then the basic Bible themes are five lessons that really cover the five themes of Scripture: covenant, law, grace, incarnation, and forgiveness. And so all of these have different variations. Some of them are meant to be done in a small group. Some of them you can tailor more for a small group, but are designed kind of as an individual one-on-one type of thing. But most of them can be used in a relationship with someone else in a very small group setting. So something to take a look at. Then we have denominational-wide studies. These are book-driven courses that usually have a PowerPoint. They always have a leader's guide. Sometimes they have handouts, and these can be used in small group settings as well. And here's one that I'm throwing up here as an example of how we got our Bible. So if we were to stop basically right here with what I've just shown you, what you're looking at is about 1 year's worth of discipleship resourcing if you were to do one a week for a full year. And that's just for those actually five things that I pointed out to you right now: the devotionals, the three small group things, and how we got our Bible. We also have Bible studies online. The Bible studies is actually meant as an individual study, and that's a library of Bible studies that we're hoping to grow as time goes on as well. And I'm going to move pretty quickly through some of this again so we can get to some of the mobile app stuff. One of the things that we have also are lay ministry courses. The lay ministry courses mirror the modular course of study. And actually, the professors here at Olivet were the ones that worked on this project. They took the modular courses of study and they adapted it for use with laity. So it mirrors that same course outline, but the content has been tailored for the use with laity. And these are right here on the site as you look at lay ministry courses. Someone can come in here and they can download those currently six courses. Those are communicating the gospel in a pluralistic world, exploring John Wesley's theology, exploring Nazarene history and polity, practicing Wesleyan holiness spiritual formation, telling the New Testament story of God, and telling the Old Testament story of God. And the seventh one that's coming here probably in the fall or winter will be tracing the story of God through the Bible. Every one of them has a basic format and outline. That format that we use, which we try to use with everything we do on the site, is you have content, you have application, then you have a quiz, which is how everything's tracked through the site. So when they come to the site, they can actually download the lesson, then they can take the quiz, and that's what tracks it, which will also be what will stimulate the email that'll get sent on the new website if they've chosen to have you as a pastor be a part of that process. And then there's a mentor discussion guide that's also part of every lesson. So with those six courses, there's actually 85 lessons. None of the lessons should take more than 20 to 30 minutes to do. The challenge with laity, as you guys all know, is time. Time's a major factor. People are so busy, they don't have time for anything. And we really have tried to make this as easy as possible to eat an elephant one bite at a time so that they can move through a process and look back and realize how much they've gained after they've gone through that. The lay ministry courses, quite frankly, have been probably the most well-received thing we've had on the site. It's where most people have had a huge transformation. Some people, in fact, that have been in the church for a long time have said and commented that they've learned things about what we believe as Nazarenes that they had no idea we even believed in our theology. And so it's been very, very foundational from a theological standpoint and from a scriptural standpoint as well. So the other thing that we have is children's ministry course. It's 20 lessons and best practices for children's ministry. And what we've started to do, because we want to really work with this relational concept, is we started piloting a coaching program. So those in the church who are working with children can go through the children's ministry course online. Anyone can do that. But if they want to have a coach, we can connect them with a coach. Right now we're piloting it with someone by the name of Reverend Katie Weber. She's out of the Oregon Pacific District. She's a children's ministry pastor. She's also the children's ministry director on that district. And she will work with an individual for 6 months. She'll actually invest an hour a week for 6 months with that individual. That's how much time she's willing to give. In that time, they'll go through and they'll do actually a pre-course assessment or coaching assessment and a post-coaching assessment that we actually created through our research department to try and measure competence and confidence of the individual as they move through that coaching process. We're not trying to necessarily measure, are there more kids in your ministry now than there were when you started? We want to really look at the individual and say, did the individual grow? And so that's the thing that we're measuring with the assessment, pre and post coaching. So it's 6 months of coaching that they get, and with that, Katie will actually help that person plan a children's ministry event as well. In some cases, she's actually Skyped into a church board meeting. Now, she doesn't always do that, but in certain cases where it's maybe been necessary or helpful, she's done that as well. So that is an option. If you're interested in that or know people that are, let us know. I'll be happy to make that contact as well. One of the things that we also have is the youth ministry course, which is the exact same model. It's 20 lessons and best practices for youth. And the same applies here. We're actually just asked, do any of you guys know Jim Chapman of Big Chat Ministries? One of you raising your hand back there. He's an evangelist in the Church of Nazarene. The ministry that he does, he speaks a lot of the youth camps. A lot of churches have him, especially, well, really all over the country. He's pretty much gets around. But he's willing to do coaching as well. So if you have someone in youth, and you want to connect them with a coach, that can work out as well. The other thing we do is we actually conduct webinars on various topics from time to time. We take someone that's an expert in a certain field, and then we have a webinar on that. And we've done webinars on all kinds of things, anything from how to communicate effectively to leading a small group to we did a webinar on 50 Shades of Grey when 50 Shades of Grey came out with Dr. Todd Bowman to really look at that from a sexuality standpoint and really try and frame that in an understanding of the neurobiology of sexuality, which he's an expert in. And then Todd Bowman is actually going to be doing one on us for homosexuality here soon. We haven't scheduled the date. So that's one we have that is going to be upcoming. Anyone that's registered on the site will get our e-blast. So if you create an account on the site, you'll automatically be notified as we do those webinars. And so that'll be available then. We do archive the webinars, and the webinars are put on the website, and you can go back and listen to them. A lot of the pastors that are getting lifelong learning hours, that's one of the things they tap into are the webinars, and they go listen to them. So
there's 61 of them today.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't have them, we just, basically the way those are cataloged at this point, when the new site is released, probably try and figure out a better way to catalog some of those. Right now, the newest one is always put at the bottom of the page. So the latest one's out at the bottom, and the that's how you'll kind of look for them. But if it says CC, if you're looking at the page there, if it says CC at the beginning, that's a conference call. It's a downloadable MP3 file. If it's says web, it's a webinar, so it's for viewing. Some churches have actually used that as training. For example, we did a webinar with Dr. Randy Cloud, professor at Mid-America, on preparing your lesson with confidence. And so that could actually be something you could utilize as a training for Sunday school teachers, where you can maybe break that up. It's every webinar we do is about an hour long, roughly. So you could even do 20-minute quick sessions. Whether you project that in the sanctuary and do that, or you just encourage them to do that on their own, those are the kinds of things we did. We did a series on parenting with, my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on her name, Jamie out in Pasadena, First Church. Anyway, she did a series on parenting, and some churches actually use that as an outreach in their community. They actually promoted that, and then they broadcast it in their sanctuary, and people viewed it live. So there's all kinds of applications. I'm giving you a highlight, but I'm telling you, there's different ways to utilize what's on the site as well. We have a lot of articles that are just one-page articles, very practical tips on different things. That probably is one of the best things to do is to email those. You could actually send it out as an e-blast for youth workers, Sunday school workers, whatever. So you can take a look at some of those. Very simple, very practical kinds of things. This one here that's highlighted is preparing the classroom for teaching. Another thing that we have on there is a self-evaluation for Sunday school teachers. You could probably use that for small group leaders as well. Have them self-evaluate themselves and then maybe have them start going through some of this stuff, come back in 6 months, have them reevaluate themselves and see how they have progressed. So that's an option as well. One of the things that we've done as well is we created a community on the website. The community, the reason we did this was, as we all know in this room, most Nazarene churches are 100 or less. And so, you know, for a lot of lay people, and commitment's a big deal for most pastors, getting someone to commit. And the surest way to burn out in the church is for someone to feel isolated and alone. If you're a youth pastor or a youth minister or working with youth in the church and you're a layperson, you're the only one in that church doing it, you know what that's like. And so one of the things we wanted to do in the idea of creating relationships and this being a relationship-driven thing is we created the community. The community functions like Facebook. We're not competing with Facebook. However, what you're seeing here is an example of how those connections can take place. So when you come here, you can see on the screen here, it's saying Christy Kellogg just enrolled in NT Session 8. Well, NT Session 8 is telling the New Testament story of God, Lesson 8, and I can see that. Now, if I wanted to, and I were also going through that course, I can click on her name, and if she's allowed her profile information to be seen, I might see her phone number, I might see her email, depends on what she's allowed to be seen. But I could message her through the system and say, hey, would you be willing to go through this course with you? Maybe we can discuss those mentor discussion questions together. That's an avenue. That's something that could be done. So you think about that with children's ministry or youth ministry. That's something that can be done. You can create groups through the community, and those can be private groups. So that's a way you could also tailor this for the time factor with laity. I had five business guys that called me, and they all traveled, so they obviously had a lot of downtime as they traveled, but they met every Sunday night at the church because they were back on the weekends. So they decided to go through the lay ministry courses. So during their downtime, they all said, well, let's start with this course. We'll do one lesson, and when we come back on Sunday night, we'll just go through the application. We'll say, did you have any struggles with the quiz? What did you miss because maybe you didn't understand it? They helped each other with that, and then went through the mentor discussion questions on their own. They met for 45 minutes. It was quick. It was short, but they moved together through that. They did that face-to-face, but you could do the same thing by creating an online group that's private. So that's a way to do that as well. In fact, that's a way a district could actually use the site, is if four or five pastors wanted to give oversight and the district wanted to actually give initiatives and say to the laity, hey, we're going to go through a children's ministry course. So if you're working with children, a district could say, let's create a group, let's get four or five pastors to give oversight to that, and as people move through that, they just discuss the mentor discussion questions online. So just an idea if that can work out for you in your context as well. Some of the things that we have, I mentioned the new website. We've also done worship leader coaching with Jonathan Trees. He did a 10-month coaching process with the first cohort that just ended. So we're probably going to actually do another one if you have worship leaders that are lay and want to go through that. Reverend Jonathan Trees is actually the worship pastor at Highland Park in Florida. Did I say that right? Those of you that know. It's a church of about 1,500, so he's the full-time worship pastor out there. He's a very talented, gifted guy. And so he actually took them through coaching for 10 months, about an hour a month of video conference with the individuals. We do have, I mentioned the new lady ministry course, and then we also have a Sunday school teacher course that's coming out, which is how to teach. That is actually being done by Dr. Juanita Copley. And that'll probably be available sometime around either winter or spring of this next year. And she's actually agreed to do coaching with that. Dr. Juanita Copley is, she's actually the division chair at the University of Houston in her field, but she's also a Sunday school teacher at the church there and very talented, gifted individual. So that is the Discipleship Place website. Any questions, comments, before I transition into the mobile app stuff? Anything at all? Like I said, I've moved pretty quickly, so let me give you my contact information, by the way. If you guys want to write this down, if you're interested at any point with the coaching and you want to connect on that, my email address is jcomstock, that's jcomstock, at nazarene.org. And my phone number is, actually the toll-free number is a direct line to my desk. It's 888-243-2767. So let me transition to the mobile app. And that is GoTandem. I don't think very many of you actually... I only saw one or two hands. Did I see that correctly, that have actually heard of GoTandem? Okay. Oh, okay. Four hands? Okay. So let me give you a little bit of a background on GoTandem and kind of the relationship that we created with Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible is a radio Bible teaching ministry out in Lincoln, Nebraska. They've been around for 75 years. Some of you maybe have heard some of their Bible teaching over the years. Dr. Arnie Cole is a researcher. Dr. Arnie Cole is also the CEO of Back to the Bible. he also has on staff a lady by the name of Pam. She's a PhD in the whole field of research as well. They have surveyed 150,000 plus people in the last 8 years. The purpose of the survey was to try and step back and look at Scripture from an empirical standpoint. and really do the best they could to remove the bias that we have as Christians about Scripture and look at it and say, is there anything we can say about the effect of Scripture on someone's life? And so they surveyed, like I said, about 150,000 people in the last 8 years. And what they discovered was that individuals who engage in Scripture 4 or more times a week. Now, when they say engage, what they specifically mean is people who receive Scripture, people who reflect on Scripture, and people who respond to Scripture in some form or fashion. So individuals who receive Scripture 4 or more times a week, there was this transformational effect that they saw very clearly in the research. They're not saying it's a formula, they're just saying this is what we observed. This is some of the stuff that they came to in their research. Individuals who engage Scripture 4 or more times a week are 228% more likely to share their faith with others. They're 231% more likely to disciple others. They're 407% more likely to memorize Scripture, 416% more likely to financially give to church, and they're 228% more likely to give financially outside the church. But then you see this, and this is the real telling part, which is those individuals, as you can see, this is pretty significant, being 62% less likely to have excessive drinking, 31% less likely to have angry outbursts, 60% less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. And with this right here, what they did is they actually identified about 16 key areas that came back as common themes in the narrative of what people struggle with that are holding them back. One of the things that's not listed here includes lust or pornography as one of those items, which we all know is a major issue in our church. I mean, the statistics are very clear. In fact, even with our pastors, depending on what research you look at, most of them, I've heard as high as 50 to 60% will say they've looked at pornography in the last week. So this is kind of the idea behind GoTandem, because what GoTandem is a mobile app that an individual will download for free, and then they're going to be asked to take an assessment. You're seeing a screenshot of some of those questions. The assessment is optional. The user doesn't have to take it, but if they will take the assessment, what it does is it identifies their strengths spiritually. It also identifies some of those key areas of struggle. And then it tailors the spiritual content, Scripture, that they receive on a daily basis to the assessment results. So it's a smart user app in the intelligence that it has. So the user controls the experience, though. They can say, well, I want one Scripture a day, I want 12 Scriptures a day, and here's the times I want them. And it basically operates on the premise of a spiritual interruption. Everyone's very tied to their devices, and people struggle with interruptions. So the mobile app works on the premise of a spiritual interruption. Something to redirect their thoughts. Now, it's not a Bible study, and it's not a lot of Scripture. It's one to maybe three verses of Scripture with a couple reflection questions. Very, very simple. If you download the app and you look at the Scripture that it kicks out to you, it'll give you options. It'll say, why did you receive the Scripture? It'll tell you. You received the Scripture because people who struggle with these things find the Scripture helpful. You can click on the Scripture reference to find the fuller context if you want. And at the bottom of it, you can say, well, I would like more like this, or I would like less like this. And here's an example of what I just shared. You can then also say, well, I want to retake the assessment. So the assessment is more of a longitudinal kind of thing that you get a picture of with people, because the reality is there's also a report that goes with this that allows people to see the struggles of the users. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. This is actually very old numbers. I didn't realize that number existed on the slide. There's actually now probably closer to 90,000 total users of GoTandem, growing at 250 a day. So those are old numbers. But we actually began beta testing GoTandem to see what people thought about it, how they responded to it. So that was the first step in the process in our relationship with Back to the Bible. And as we started beta testing that, people started downloading it, we were able to get the analytics. So these are the analytics on the users and the things that we could see. Okay, so we can see obviously the basic demographic information, male versus female, how many are engaged in Scripture 4 or more times a week, how many are not. We see the age demographic information, and then we see the profile right here. It's pretty hard to mess up this one because the questions are pretty direct. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Notional Christian really identifies the individuals that's really not in Scripture. Because if you're not in Scripture, the only thing you're left with are your notions about what you think Christianity is. You really have no real direction about anything related to Christianity that's really definitive. And then you have the followers. But then you begin to see some of these things. These are some of the 16 key areas that it identifies. So this is an old report, one of the early reports that we got on our users. If you were actually to look at our most recent report, you could see of the teens that are in the app, nearly 75% of them dealing with destructive thoughts are males. So those are the kinds of things that we can see in the demographic data. But what Back to the Bible has done is they've taken this technology and everything I've described to you and they've made it into a white label version. What that means is you get that technology in the app, but it can be your church app. So now you can actually take this app and make it yours. So people are no longer downloading GoTandem, they're downloading your church app. Many of you guys have your devices here. Can you guys pull up your app, whatever your app store is, if you're Android or iOS or whatever. And just when you go into search for it, just type in the search, GoTandem, all one word, and you'll begin to see all the churches that already have their live app. It's a white label version. The ones that actually have the subscript or subtitle that says Back to the Bible are our white label churches, and you'll begin to see that. So you understand what I'm saying when I say it's your brand on the app, it's your app. It is no longer GoTandem.
And it don't work on Windows.
It does not work on Windows, that is correct. Back to the Bible has invested about $5 million in this in the last 8 years in research and development. And the reality is the window-based market is a smaller market and it just hasn't justified the cost to develop that. So that may come in the future, but at the present moment...
That's come through as an email.
Does it? Okay. So currently it'll work on iOS and Android, iPads, iPods, iPhones, that kind of thing. One of the things, though, that you'll see, and when you download GoTandem, and this is a screenshot, is with the white label version, you get the benefit of having this app work for your church. Now, here's the reality, and I think we all know the reality, especially for churches that have a large volunteer base. You get a website, you get it up and running, and then the question is what? Who's going to maintain it? And a lot of times the website sits there, it's never updated, and it grows stagnant. What I love about GoTandem and the white label version is you can get this app, and if you do nothing else with it, it's engaging your people for you. You don't have to touch it. Every day, they're being touched, but you don't have to do it because the scriptures are being pushed out to them on a daily basis. That's the beauty of GoTandem. However, with the white label version, the additional benefit is you have some other great features. When you get a white label version, you brand it as your own. You can see when you look, the little three lines are the hamburger menu. So when you open the app after you download it, you can click on the hamburger menu and you can have four of your own custom menu items. Okay. Some churches will use those four custom menu items for various things. You can use it to link to your current online giving solution. It is not an online giving solution, but it will link into it. So one of the things it could say there is, this is actually the menu item. So it could say donate, people open the app, they can click to that, go right to the online giving option. Some people use it to link to their online calendar. Some churches don't have an online calendar, which the nice thing about the app as well is that you can actually put events into the app and announcements there. So for those churches that don't, that might be an option. A lot of churches don't use the event function if they have an online calendar because they don't have to update it in two places. That's fine. They can create a menu item and link to that. Here's an example on this screenshot of some of those daily messages that come out. So you can see that as well. But the other thing that's in the app that you get with the white label version is what's called custom tracks. Everything is administered through a web-based system. So as I said before, the app functions whether you do anything with it or not. The beauty is, though, you can upload your own content into the app if you so choose in what are called tracks. One of the things that you'll see in the menu item, I think that was here, is My Tracks. So a user can click on that, and if you upload tracks, they're going to see what you've uploaded. Now, a track could be, for example, marriage devotionals. I showed you the screenshot of Dr. David and Lisa Frisbee's marriage devotionals. We can actually make that available to you as a track so that you could use that if you wanted as a 30-day track. Users could subscribe to it. Instead of going to discipleshipplace.org, they can get it delivered to them right on their phone. Okay? On a every day for 31 days, they could get a marriage devotional. But a track could be anything. Some people in their churches use sermons as a track. So the track might be uploading on Tuesday the sermon from Sunday, the last Sunday. Could be the audio, the video of that sermon. And then on Wednesday, they might send out a message or Thursday and say, hey, on Sunday we talked about these two or three things. How are you doing? Then on Friday, they could send a message out through the track that says, hey, on Sunday we're going to be looking at the scripture. Be thinking about these things. So that could be a track. I'm just trying to throw out ideas here. Tracks can be a lot of things, but it's things that you upload. The content can be text, audio, or video, and it's delivered on a daily basis. And here's an example of one of those tracks. So that's a real nice feature. Actually, this is also a screenshot of when you click on My Tracks, the next screen that opens up shows you, and this is just a screenshot as an example of various tracks that have been uploaded into the app. So you as a user could actually say, I want to do this track, not interested in this one, I want to do this track. You select the tracks you want. The other thing in that app, as far as the functionality of the app, is you can send communication messages. You could send a push notification message to the global users, everyone that's downloaded your app, so they can get a message on their phone. A lot of churches used that this last winter. Inclement weather, churches closed, don't come to church, stay home and be safe. Boom, send it out, real easy to do. Or you could send out communication messages just to individuals of specific tracks. So if someone subscribed to the marriage devotional track, then that person, maybe you just have a message you only want those individuals to get. You can send just a communication message to them, and that's a nice function of the app as well. This is an example and screenshot of the events. I mentioned that earlier. So you can actually put events into the app. This is showing you what that looks like. If you were to do it, you can actually just click on it right here and say add to my calendar. There it is. Okay? Now, the question is how much does an app like this cost? And the app costs you absolutely nothing. You can have this white label version app for free. There is absolutely no cost. The original arrangement that we had with Back to the Bible was that anyone who got the app before May 31st would have it free for life. And the original arrangement with Dr. Arnie Cole, what they were looking at was after May 31st, any church that gets the app would pay a $1,500 setup fee and $99 a month. That's kind of the going price for apps like this, according to their research. But I will tell you that the free offer has been extended to June 30th. So you have now until June 30th, not May 31st. But about 3 weeks ago, well, it's been longer than that now. It's probably been 2 months ago. I went to Lincoln. I met with Dr. Arnie Cole. And the advantage we have as a denomination is that we were the first denomination to move with them. Okay? So there's no other denominations on board with them currently right now. If you go look at Gotandem and search in the App Store, you're primarily going to see Nazarene churches. There's a few, but very few. We have about 400 churches right now that either have a live app or are in process of getting in, about 420. But I went up there and talked to him and said, is there any way we can reconsider this deal and make this free permanently? And so part of the challenge was figuring out how to make that a win-win. But he's a great ministry partner, And he said, we'll do it. We'll make it free for life. Beyond June 30th, anyone who gets an app after June 30th can still have it free for life. The only difference will be for those who get it after June 30th, as opposed to before, is you're going to receive emails asking if you want to give a donation. They're going to put you on a donation list. You're going to get notification. I think that's fair enough. To me, that seems fair. And off of that is the other side of this coin, which is one of the things that we decided to do as well was realizing that churches are going to want track content. Is I said to Arnie, what if we can put ministry partners together to create track content and we can sell that to the churches? Because one of the things with Back to the Bible is they were looking for a way to create a revenue generator. There's no hiding that fact. So that's one of the things we're looking at, is to say, can we put ministry partners together? I've talked to NTS. I actually, while I was here, just met with Olivet about the same thing, about the idea, and anyone else that would want to, we can have them help us create content to give to churches and sell it for a very small price. It would just be a revenue share model with Back to the Bible. So I'm just being very upfront with you. Here's how it's going to work. You don't have to buy the tracks, but that's something that they will probably do with us, and that will offset the need to charge for the app up front. Okay? And that's where we're at in process. And phase two of this initiative is the development of these tracks that can be offered to churches, and you can buy the tracks. Right. So, yes?
So 2 years from now, I move to a new church and they don't have the app. I reapply, go through that whole process to start another app.
Yeah, 2 years, and you'll just be put on an email list.
But I don't have to pay now, I just have to leave through my emails.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah. I think it's a fair exchange. So, given the fact that you're going to get ongoing support of this app, they have a development team out east that does apps. The group that they have actually developing this app is a group that does apps for Coca-Cola, other large corporations, a very talented team. And so there will be ongoing things, I mean, bug fixes, new features. In fact, in June, the Spanish version of the app will be available. So, in fact, what they're going to do next then after Spanish is Arabic. So now, I want to say to you, I believe this app, and I've seen it because I've gotten the feedback, it's been used by God. I'm sorry for being emotional, but this is a hard one to say, but it's true. It's just that with what's happened in my life in the last 3 weeks with my brother-in-law, just about a month and a half ago, I had a person in the church email me. They have a white label app, and a psychologist had actually sent the email to them, and they just forwarded it to me. And I'm sorry, guys. The psychologist is a Christian. She doesn't necessarily have a Christian practice, but she doesn't hide her faith either. And the email said, I have two clients that have been suicidal. And one of the clients said to the psychologist, this app has helped me. And she said, I attribute it to the fact that the assessment is tailored to the results, and she's getting scripture that she needs at the time she needs it. Oh, thank you. And so that's pretty powerful. And it's not the app, it's the scripture that's getting in the lives of people. And the reality is most people in our churches really aren't engaged in the word. I don't have hard data on that. I've seen what I've seen in the analytics that we have, but the truth is, we're good if half of them are engaging in Scripture four times or more a week. But the Word changes lives. And that's what we're seeing in this app. I had at M15 a pastor come up to me and say, hey, I want to show you this text. He had a physician that had just texted him, and he showed me the text, and this physician said, "Today I got the scripture I needed at just the right time. I was angry and dealing with the situation, and this scripture helped change my response to a more loving one." And he said, this physician is telling everybody in his practice, his other fellow physicians, "You need to download my church's app. Like, this is really helpful." Now, here's the strategy I see with this app is, if I can cast a little bit of a vision here. Technology is what technology is, and there's other things to be said about technology. The truth is, technology is fantastic, a huge fan of technology. The reality is, though, technology has a bad side too. I mean, let's be honest. And the truth of the matter is, if you look at the neurobiology of the brain and what's going on with the brain and the experts that deal with this, you begin to see that there are some things in technology that I think create a real challenge when it comes to discipling people. I'm getting a little bit off track here, but let me just say this. One of the things that we know is when you look at gaming, for example, gaming has an impact neurologically on the brain. And when you, and by the way, the coders of gaming systems understand this. It's called the Madison effect. When they create code in a program, they do focus groups. And those focus groups, is the Madison effect, is to study the eyes as they're playing the game. As soon as they get to a point where the eyes stop blinking, they know that they've got good code. Games are all built on the idea of anticipation. It's, I've got to unlock the next level. I've got to get to this level or whatever, or get to this juncture in the game. And the truth is when you achieve that anticipated outcome, dopamine's released in the brain. But what happens is, because of the stress on the brain, it's very clear, becoming more and more clear to scientists as they're looking at this, that what happens eventually is your brain can only handle about 45 minutes of time in front of a computer screen. The stress on the brain is that reality, okay? You're gaming, and eventually now, to get the same dopamine release for pleasure that you used to get at 45 minutes, now it's got to be an hour 15. Because it's very addictive. And your brain begins to build a barrier to that pleasure center in the brain. So the dump of dopamine, it gets harder and harder to get that dump of dopamine to that pleasure center of the brain to get the same experience and outcome that I got with 30 minutes. Now I need 2 hours. And you can go on YouTube and look at it, the freak out stuff. Some of it's staged, some of it's real. You watch kids who have their gaming games taken away and them freaking out in the rage and the anger, that's what's going on. Asia's a lot farther ahead of us than we are here in the United States. And you're starting to see centers now that actually have addiction centers for technology to unplug. So that's the reality of technology, but technology is a great thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's not that we need to have cell phone burning parties, you know, type of stuff. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not at all. But it's important that we have that awareness, because here's the reality. If that's true, what I just described to you, think about the impact of that on someone finding pleasure with God. Think about that. The same thing happens with Facebook. It's just a smaller dump of dopamine. Every time you get, think about what happens every time you get the notification on your phone. What's the, people can't hardly help themselves. Like, man, I gotta see it. I missed something. It's the fear of missing out. Like, it's just a smaller dump, but it's the same effect over time. I got off on a tangent. I apologize for that. Where was I headed? Oh, the strategy. So the strategy that I see with this is, if you have a track, and if we can do this right, here's what I hope can happen. If we can provide tracks, as you're able to exegete your community now with analytics, if we can create tracks tailored to what you need, for example, I did talk with Julie Keith out of Pasadena First, who's a special needs pastor out there. She deals with a lot of kids that deal with autism. What if you had a track in your app that helped parents deal with a kid that's autistic? And I'm at an event, and I'm a parent, and I'm at a school function, and I know the XYZ parent has a severely autistic child. It's really not that threatening for me to say to that person, hey, you know what, my church has this track that really helps parents with autistic kids. You might want to check this out. What have I just done? I've made the church relevant to that person's life. And then scripture comes as well. I think that's pretty neat. I think that could be a really neat strategy if it can work. So that's what I'm hoping can happen. We got a few minutes here. I want to take questions. Any comments, questions about any of it? Concerns?
Is there a back end way that you upload information, like the stuff that we want to manage on our own? Do we have to do anything like with Apple, or is that all taken?
Yeah, let me just, that's a good point. I just totally missed out on the process. So what's going to happen is, you got my email address. If you want an app, just email me and I'll send you an application. It's a PDF file. There's like 7 items of information. I need to know who the administrator is going to be. There can be more than one, whoever's going to help administer the app. And then also who's going to receive the analytics. So that might be the pastor. In a lot of cases, it's the same person. But in some cases, the admin is not the pastor. And the pastor doesn't want the admin to get those analytics. So that's why that's there. So you send that in with an image. The image has to be 1024 by 1024 pixels, 72 DPI. And if you need help creating an image, Back to the Bible can do that. They will charge $100 for that, okay? But that option is there. If worse comes to worse, we can let you can use the Church of Nazarene logo. We have images for that. That can be done. So you send that to me, and then once all that's in good order, I send that to Back to the Bible. The next step is you're going to get an email from Back to the Bible that is going to have a license agreement. You're going to need to initial each page and sign it and send that back. Nothing will happen until they get that. So I want to make sure you know that. Nothing's going to happen until they get that signed agreement. And basically that signed agreement is just to protect them. To say you're not going to resell this, you're not getting, this is their technology, et cetera, et cetera. Once you get that, then you're going to get an admin login. This is a picture of the admin login site, okay? And then there's some additional steps, so I have instructions. It'll take you maybe an hour at the most, 45 minutes, setting your color scheme, some additional steps. I'll be happy to help any of you through the process. Call me and we'll walk through it. You don't need to worry about if you don't know how to do it. Once you've done that, you're gonna click submit inside the app, and this isn't the screen, but there's a place that'll turn green, a button, and it'll say you're ready to submit your app. You'll click on that when all the steps are done. That sends a message to Back to the Bible to say, I'm ready for you to build my app. It'll put it in the queue. Right now, I think their workflow is such that they're probably out about 2 weeks. And then they'll build the app. And then once they build the app, they'll submit it to the app stores for you. So you don't have to do any of that. Once it goes to the app stores, then it's all up to the app stores. Apple takes a lot longer than Google Play Store does, Google does. But you're looking at probably 10 to 14 business days for them to review it and then publish it and make it live. So from beginning to end, if you work through all the steps quickly, I'd say realistically you're looking at 6 weeks. So for it to go live, okay? But it's not a difficult process, it's just kind of time consuming.